Previously on the Nature of My Game podcast.
I want to disrupt it so bad, not just because this is horrible, but also because then I could potentially be thwarting the person that gave me a shock card.
The Duchess steps down off the stage and starts to mingle with the crowd. I was taught to dance where I'm from, which is nowhere around here. From the east.
Your show is like nothing I've ever seen before.
There's a shift in color that you notice between the skin on her hands and on her arms, as if the two parts belong to different people.
No.
What is this dimensional portal BS?
You have a friend whose name is Aristide Ducasse, and now you remember him telling you that he was looking into a dancer at a new cabaret with an unusual style.
Why isn't there just a sign that says knife room this way? Amputations, buy one, get one free.
I think she will fall asleep holding her mallet because she's always afraid it will be the last time that she's able to hold it.
So.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Okay.
You just kind of instinctually like reach up.
No.
And you realize that your earlobe has been sliced off. New York City, December 2nd, 1995. Veronica Doyle tried to seem busy and interested as she strolled through the exhibits at Aquavella Galleries. Better to look blankly at the pieces of art around the room than to make it obvious that she was here by herself and didn't really know what she should be doing. Dahlia had invited her, or at least she'd received an invitation in the mail and assumed that Dahlia had hoped she would come. But there was something about the look on Dahlia's face when she'd arrived. Veronica was probably just being paranoid, but it did seem like Dahlia was perhaps slightly surprised or slightly taken aback when Veronica had walked through the door. And so now, rather than approaching her colleague, friend, Veronica was never sure exactly how to define her relationship with Dahlia and Chip. How could someone describe how they knew each other, what they did, what they faced, without sounding insane? So Veronica chose not to. Either way, rather than approaching Dahlia and interrupting her, Veronica just made herself busy and looked at the pieces of art. Veronica had never been particularly interested in art, particularly modern art, but one piece caught her eye and she walked toward it. It seemed out of place with the rest of the exhibit. And it certainly didn't look modern. It looked ancient, if anything. As Veronica approached, she was more sure that something about this piece was amiss. She was no expert, but the marble statue seemed more like it belonged in a Greek temple than a modern art gallery on the Upper East Side of New York. Veronica looked down at the placard naming the artist who created the piece, but the name escaped her mind immediately as she turned up to look at the face depicted in the statue. She supposed the sculpture was meant to at least conjure the image of the woman at the well from the New Testament. But the expression on the woman's face was one of pain and suffering. And more horrifying for Veronica was that the woman's face looked like her face. And before she could scream, before she could turn and run, before she could do anything at all, she was frozen in place and struck momentarily mute as a single tear, crimson as blood, dripped from the woman's, or perhaps her own, eye. I think it's time for everyone's favorite game.
Oh no!
Predictions. Yeah. What is going on in this scenario? What is happening? What is the connection to the greater campaign?
God.
Yeah, what's going on? What do you think?
I have been going back and forth a lot on whether this lady is actually from Carcosa, or whether she just is some sort of protege. And I do think she is of there. I think, like, she is legit from that place.
Carcosa?
Mm-hmm.
Me too.
Because it's just too...
Her skin? Yeah. That's strange.
This, like, Frankensteining your way into these different body parts is it's deeply disturbing is what it is. Ew, and like, I feel like I've seen so many like TV shows and movies of like aliens who come to Earth to like harvest our shit. And like, it feels like there's an element of that here that I don't love. Yeah, so I think that is the Bane connection. I think she is of there, has come here, and is doing her own little agenda. I'm not sure if it ties in. I don't know how the specific tie-in is to this game. Exactly, except for the way they enjoy causing chaos and havoc here, which is, you know, all the connection they probably need because they're terrible people.
Yeah, I wrote in my notes like 2 episodes ago, sacrifice ?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the men from the street are like a big sacrifice, mm-hmm, that like helps her to be alive. But then maybe she like feeds off of the energy of the crowd too, and like, the crowd is getting pieces out.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know why it's Rose and not us. Like, I watched it, but it's not me who lost it. It was Rose.
I mean, mechanically, it was that test. It was that, mm-hmm, it was that role that Rose failed, and we were all there, even if we were trying to be careful. We all spoke to her, even if we were trying to be careful. I just think that all the things we did to be safe, like, didn't actually help.
No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right. Like, that is, I am also sensing a, like, there is an element of let's violently destroy a certain number of bodies so that you can, like, more passively take from others for some reason. Yeah, like, it's the thing that's so fascinating to me is that we have been hearing about men who have been having these injuries, and her body is not showing us, like, man parts. So it's gotta be going somewhere else. Like, she's gotta have a pool, and there's another pool of people that are being drawn from for some other reason. Mm-hmm. Unless she can just, like, make them how she likes them. I don't know. But then you'd think she would make a match. Maybe her aesthetic sense. I mean, she does dance around a devil costume. Like, her aesthetic sense, I can't actually trust. So maybe she doesn't really notice what's happening.
I also think that the people on the stage, like, go to Carcosa.
Mm. There is another element,
like, I
there,
think
yeah.
if you go a few times, you like it, you want more, it seems like you get more into the whole scene by performing, and they go visit, and then they, like, love it, and then they keep coming back.
Yeah.
Mm. All of these sound good. I honestly feel like I don't know. There's so many threads that don't make sense to me.
There's a lot.
Yeah, like, the body parts thing of, like, maybe putting her together, like, Frankensteining her makes sense, but then, like, why absolutely, like, souffle those people in the box? You know, like, what's the point of that? Like, and then, yeah, why are all these artists, like, going missing? Is, like, there's something, like, she's, like, feeding off their energy so that her dance ends up being, like, all this really raw, artistic drawing energy so that people pay attention, like, that sort of thing. And then, like, in the greater story feels confusing as well. Like, whose side is she playing for? Is it, like, Camilla?
Yeah, she's wearing red.
Or Casilda? But yeah, you know, like, what's her end game here? So...
I was like,
I don't know.
I was very conscious. Like, there was a moment where I almost told her, like, oh, we're artists too. And then I didn't. And now I've also realized I was an idiot, like, drawing her the whole time. So if that was going to be, like, a thing that I wanted to conceal, failed.
Right. Yeah.
But I think your bumbling around probably helps.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what's today's, you know, they're not.
I just.
They don't want.
Yeah.
Bumbly art talent.
There's so many, like, different kinds of weird, which is a thing that I love, right? I like that there is a spatial weirdness. There's, like, so many different things going on, and, like, this violence and this artist link. But, man, it ticks me off that there are all these people helping them. I'm like, those bartenders, like, They keep coming there night after night and, like, working for this lady.
Right, but it's like, what if they're under a different kind of spell?
I know,
you
know? I know,
so
it's
that,
true.
Yeah,
I just need someone to blame, you see. I've got this gun and all this ammunition, and I need to point it at somebody. I wonder if this is going to be one where, like, we just are not going to be able to find all the answers. I don't know. But, I mean, that said, the Yellow King is such a well-made game for making sure you get the information that you need, that, like, some way or another. I just hope we're alive to get it.
Speaking of people who are near near the end of their life, where we left off was after a night at the cabaret and great lengths to make sure nothing happened.
Idiots that we were.
Rose awoke to find that her earlobe was missing. Which threw her into a bit of a panic, and she demanded to go home. And as she and Manu were leaving, she saw a single tear of blood drip from one of the faces on the statuary on the fence surrounding Francis's aunt's estate. So we're going to pick back up there, and I'm going to throw it over to Rose to see how she reacts to this.
When she sees the blood tear? I think in that moment, she starts trembling uncontrollably. And I think, like, despite her usual reserve, like, her better judgment, she's shaking and she stands there, and I think she just, like, screams, "What do you want from me?" And then I'm assuming that a carriage has been called for them, and I think that she just, like, heads for that directly.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Because she wants to be home. Yeah. And I assume Manu comes with her, but...
Oh, yeah. No, she's like, you do this, and then she just, like, grabs her hand firmly and, like, gets you in the carriage. And, like, doesn't... Like, what can you say? So she says nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so the two of you drive off. Francis, as they leave, where's your head at? What do you think you do?
I mean, she worked so hard to keep these people safe. She tried so many things. And it happened under her roof. It happened under her roof that this person was hurt again in this way that she was hurt before, even if the details are different. And she has had so much anger just broiling inside of her, along with the guilt. And that has been stoked again. And the anger right now is what's taking over. So I think she's going to go inside, the scream of Rose still echoing in her mind, she's going to go sit down at a desk, and she is going to start writing a letter to the Duchess of Deception.
A strongly worded letter.
where I would like to speak to your manager. I think it's going to say, Duchess, I believe that I know exactly the eastern clime of which you speak. I have seen the sky that is white with black stars, and I think it is the sky under which you were born. I am not fully aware of what your game is here, but I am aware of a game that is being played, and I do not appreciate the fact that my friends have become pawns in this game once again. I believe that we should speak sooner than later for your best interest. Love and kisses, Francis. That's not how she signs it off. But I think she would note something about, like, a neutral territory kind of meeting as what she is proposing.
Okay.
Wow.
And she will send
it so bold
to the cabaret.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, she's had it. She's had
and then
it.
Just, mm-hmm. And then just wait.
Yeah.
Hoping wait for a response. Okay.
Oh my God, that's so cool.
So then Manu and Rose, you're heading to Rose's house? Manu's house? Rose's house, right?
Rose's house.
Rose, okay. Yeah.
Well, her apartment.
Yeah, right.
But yeah. Right. Yeah. I think when they get there, you know, Rose heads straight up the stairs to her apartment and... Mm-hmm. Throws open the door and without very much hesitation, like, heads to her back room to where her, you know, her studio is. And she pulls back the curtain and I'm assuming Manu is there with her. And this is definitely the first time that she would have ever seen this part of her apartment. truly if
she's never been in the studio. Yeah.
Yeah. Never been, or maybe not even in the apartment before, but like into the studio, and she throws back the curtain, and it is the statue of the woman at the well with her distorted face. Is this woman's face like any particular way?
Today. Jesus Christ.
Today. Yeah.
Yes, I think to you in this moment, and it's not, you're not sure whether it's, whether you're projecting this or whether it's really like this, but it looks like the face of the Duchess to you.
Oh.
Right now.
Oh my God.
Okay.
That freaks Manu out a lot. Like, this person we've never met and her face is on Rose's statue, like, that is really scary.
I actually think for Manu...
Is it different?
I think Manu, I think you...
It looks like a fish. Oh, God.
I think for you, Manu, it looks like the face of your aunt. The one who died. Ooh. The dressmaker.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
No wonder this is a secret statue. Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Rose, you've been having this in your room?
I'm not sure either of you have enough presence of mind in this moment either to compare that. So I think that's just in your head.
Just what it is.
I do think when she sees it, though, Manu is going to gasp.
Sure.
Yeah.
Does Rose respond to that or no?
I don't think so. Okay. I think she is. I don't think that she has enough.
Yeah. Okay.
Like wherewithal to even think that someone might be seeing something different because she's so unsure if like. The reason it changes all the time is like just her can, you know, only she can see it, like that sort of stuff. But I think, you know, she throws back the curtain and the statue is there as she always left it. And it looks like the Duchess now. And like without hesitation, she goes and she picks up her biggest mallet and she just swings it as hard as she can at the statue and like just breaks the top part off in pieces.
Yeah, I think when you hit it, the head disconnects from the neck and, like, smashes into the wall and shatters into pieces.
Yeah, okay. And I think then she takes, like, another swing to try and, like, dislodge the middle part and just, tries to, like, you know, eradicate it in front of her. And then I think she's just standing there in that room, just, like, breathing heavily, like, looking at the pieces on the ground, which I assume are not doing anything.
They're not, no.
I know,
Sorcerer's Apprentice style.
I feel like I had to check. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And Manu, during this whole thing, is like kind of solidarity, like here watching it, like witnessing you do this thing that feels cathartic, hopefully, and, you know, like shielding herself from flying bits of marble. And then, like, after Rose stops and is standing, just like puts her hand on her shoulder. It's like.
How does Rose feel after it's done?
I think, I don't know. I don't think she feels like good. Like, I don't think she feels like better, like having destroyed it. I think that like there is something sad in its own way about destroying it because it was a mystery that belonged to her that she wanted to solve. And also because like it meant something to her, like that she had been given this like beautiful slab to work with and that there was like, you know, I think there was some part of her that like connected her own talent into the ability that it was always changing and that there was something special about it and there was something special about her. And so like losing that is painful, but there is also something of like all of this is like, you know, when everything originally happened where she lost those fingers, things felt out of control, then she started to feel in control again and now she's like back in that place of like things are just happening to her and like it feels like no matter what she does she like can't control it, and so there is some catharsis in like destroying this thing even if there will be ramifications from it potentially. And I think like, you know, as she's standing there and she feels like Manu's like hand on her shoulder, she doesn't like shirk away from it, but I don't think she like turns back to her friend, and I think, you know, through her tears she just says like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do now. I don't know what we're supposed to do now. I feel as if I'm being hunted from the moment we stepped into your aunt's studio. I feel like I've never stopped being hunted by whatever this thing is. How do we end this? Is there even an end? And I think she's just like weeping through this, which is not something Manu would have experienced with Rose before.
Yeah.
I think don't know how to cry over Zoom, so I'm not
kidding. Yeah, I know. I think Manu is also crying a little bit and is like,
My Rose, I have the same feelings as you. How, if we leave Paris, if we leave France, will it stop? The rational part of me feels it will not. It is something that we must end. Whatever we can do, we must put our minds together and we must try. We have no other option. Should we burn the buildings as Francis suggested? Should we? I don't want to say it, but should we try to kill the Duchess?
I don't know if there is any other way but that. I guess I wish I could understand why they chose us, why they're doing this to us. I can't help but think of who we've lost so recently, and it does feel like if we don't destroy them first, they will take us all out together.
I agree.
And I think, like, in that moment, Rose is, like, it feels so insane to have that idea of, like, let's go burn down this building and, like, see what happens, but, like, it sort of feels very much like, what else is there to do? Like, you know, like, murder, like, wasn't so much on her mind, and now it feels like maybe, and, like, maybe that seems like an intense reaction to get your earlobe chopped off, but, like, but who knows, like, what else might be happening, so,
yeah,
so I think, like, I don't know, like, I think in that moment, like, Rose is, like, definitely firing on all cylinders, but probably needs, like, a couple, like, a little bit to calm down, so, like, I could envision them, like, sitting just, like, quietly for a little bit in her apartment as they, like, sort of stew over, like, what to do. But,
yeah.
I don't know.
I was envisioning, like, we need a meal. Like, we sit and we actually, like, put down all of the facts of what we know.
Yeah.
Like, from all of the stories. Like, what happened to Monty? What happened to Donald? What has Percy mentioned? And, like, you know, like, we chart it all out and it looks crazy. And then we're like, these are the things we need to destroy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And, like, we do it as carefully as we can so that the, like, gendarme don't take us away. But then we, I don't know, there's two paths. It's like there's no other option. I feel the same way.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think before, as you're leaving the room to go do whatever kind of pause activity you decide to do, I think Manu walks out of the room first. Mm-hmm. And Rhodes, you take one look back at the rubble of the statues, and there is just a little scrap of paper sitting kind of like pinched between two of the stones.
Okay, she's going to go pick it up. She can pick it up.
And you look at it.
Like, wait, like it was inside?
That's your best guess.
Oh, God. Okay, yes. Okay.
Crikey.
And it's written in red ink, and it says, "Before you do anything rash, I have an offer for you. Meet me at the morgue at midnight."
Oh my God. Oh my God. Okay.
Holy moly.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
And we'll switch back to Francis.
God. Holy shit. Holy crankies.
So what does Francis do with her time as she's waiting for her response? Is she just like, is she cleaning? Is she just pacing? Is she
baking? No, she, as soon as she sent that away, there was a part of her that was like, is that the stupidest thing I've ever done? And so she thinks and she reflects and she remembers that the worst part of what has happened in the last month is losing Donald and Monty being in the state he's in. But the part that was worse was not knowing they were in trouble. And that because she didn't know what was happening, she has been left with this feeling of guilt and constantly questioning, is there a reason why they didn't want me there? Is there a reason why I wasn't included? And so she goes back to her desk. And the first thing she does is she is going to write Percy and she is going to tell him, I know the places you hang out. You get the F away in a very genteel way from this cabaret and from this magic show. Like, there is something terrible happening there. and you cannot go there, and I mean it. And then she is going to also write Genevieve and say, I need you to understand what's happening so that you are not left out of this loop. And she's going to give Genevieve a little more detail. And she will tell Genevieve that, like, I wrote this Duchess and I don't know what's happening. I'm waiting for Manu and Rose to get in touch with me. I know I'm not going to do anything stupid like taking that meeting alone. If that happens, I will have them with me. But I need someone to know that I have asked for that to happen who is not with this. And she's going to make the point as well that, like, and that is a good thing. That is a good thing that you are informed, that you know what's happening, and that you are safely out of this particular scenario. Because she doesn't want anybody else to have that feeling of guilt that she has had. So she is going to do her best to keep them safe. And then she is, instead of a note, she is going to find a servant. Like, you know, they got a page boy, right? That's a thing.
Of course,
it's
absolutely
not just medieval castles. There's a little page boy.
Of course.
And she is going to send like an actual person to Manu and at Rose's. And the message is, I've done something stupid. we should talk sooner rather than later.
Wait, that's the message she sends to
yes,
Rose.
Yes, that is what she sends to you, directly to your place, with instructions that that kid needs to rush. And so she's not going to leave her house. She's going to continue to wait there. And so she's going to tell you specifically, I am still in Aunt Helen's, but I did something stupid.
Okay.
So that is how she has been spending her time.
So, Rose, coming back to you, do you share this note with Manu?
Oh, what a conundrum.
You have to!
Think that... Does she read that? She reads this note before they get the message from...
Yes, yes.
Right, okay. I think that she does. I think she does tell Manu about this.
Good.
I think she tells her... I think in part to be like, do you also see this? Like, can you read this? Like, am I going crazy? You know, like, this
is... the question we just have to continually keep asking each other the whole time.
I just want to make sure that, like, these are words that I'm reading and, like, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Could we dance to
before? I think she does share it with her. I think she does share it with her. And I think she says in no uncertain terms, I am going to go. And I don't want you to come with me.
Well, I, of course, if you want to go, you may go, but you cannot keep me from going with you.
I can't. I don't have anything else left to lose, but I think that you do, and I can't. I could not live with myself if you were there and something happened. You have been the friend of my life, and I don't want... This is something I have to do alone, and I hope that you can... I hope that you can support that. I hope you can respect that.
No, you cannot imagine going with me, and I cannot imagine you going without me. If you try to go alone, I will just follow you.
Oh, I don't think Rose says anything to that. She just like...
We are in this together.
Yeah. I don't think Rose says anything else to that. I think she's like, I know that that's Manu's stance, and I'm going to find a way to... I'm going to find a way to do it without her.
But before we go and do anything, we should be as prepared as possible.
And I think as you're finishing that conversation, the knock on the door comes and the page boy gives you the message that...
We each jump.
Francis has done something stupid and we should meet sooner rather than later.
Francis has done something stupid.
I'm like, as you were describing this, Emily, I was like, Manu is going to get that note and be so mad. Because like she likes Francis, and like the three of us have been like, we're in this together, but she's like, are you kidding me? Like, Rose is losing it right now. Like, I and like her loyalty is first to Rose, so it's like, I don't have what?
Yep. Yeah. We went from being completely paralyzed and like so conscious to suddenly just take it all.
Like,
the
we're
choices.
Burning the whole city down. Like the whole thing.
God, so okay, Manu and Rose, do you rush back over to Aunt Helen's?
Honestly, I think they do. Like that, you know, that is such a foreboding, like, I've done something stupid. It's like, okay, well, I absolutely need to know what that is.
I was trying to go fast.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And I'm assuming it's still, like, afternoon sometime, right? Morning?
If even that.
Yeah, probably midday sometime.
Lunchtime?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Wait, I think
and
Manu
is pissed. Like, they get there, and she, like, storms up to the door and is like, boom, 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 out the door.
Like, Rose says she's going to a meeting alone. Francis is sending letters.
Yeah. She's like, am I the only sane one here? Like, what is happening?
Yeah, so Francis will be like, okay, 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 okay. She doesn't say okay because I don't think that was in the common parlance.
D'accord, d'accord, d'accord.
Yeah, so we'll go up to the studio. And she will say, okay, I'm sorry. I was trying. I wrote the Duchess. I wrote the Duchess and I told her that I knew where she was from. And now I'm realizing I didn't exactly give a lot of specifics, but I gave the ones that I knew about. And I told her that we should meet. And I kind of threatened her. And I asked her to meet me at some sort of neutral location. We need another option. We need another option that's not running away or committing arson, because I really want to commit arson. I'm ready. Turpentine is so flammable, and it's worked for me successfully in multiple occasions, and I would so love to burn down another place, which is a little frightening in and of itself, but we have to do
this
something.
This, like, pokes a little bit of a hole in the anger that Manu is feeling, because she's like, me too! Sim, we want to just to burn it. Like, okay, d'accord. Perhaps before you go to the meeting and before we burn anything and before Rose does anything crazy, we should just get the facts as we know them straight. Write it down, make sure that we are as sure as we can be and that we are moving forward in the best way that we can.
She will just pick up a giant ass canvas and, like, plop it on an easel and be like, cool, let's go. Yeah. And they can do a full-on conspiracy board.
What do you mean?
Yeah, where is she from? Like a murder board.
What did you say? Yeah, that's what I'm picturing. Like, where is she from? What word did you use? Why do you think that? Like, just boom, boom.
So I think if you want to take a few minutes out of character to just, like, talk about, like, what do you want to do? Now would be a good time, and that this can be the results of of hours of murder boarding.
Well, I do think Francis will very quickly, because she heard the way that Manu phrased it was that Manu assumes she is also wanting to go to the meeting alone. So she will very quickly correct that assumption that she doesn't want to do it alone, and that she would want them to be there if they would be willing to be there. But yeah, so we murder board.
Yeah, well, I mean, what is, like, the objective here? Like, what is the plan to, like, if we're meeting her? You know, it's like we're not getting the jump on this, the Duchess, right? Like, she's like, if she's agreeing to meet, it's like, what are we trying to, like, find out from her? It's like what she's doing and how to stop her. Like, she's not going to tell us that.
I mean,
right?
Part,
like,
of it is that I think.
Is that where we can kill her?
It's possible, right? We have two guns. Donald and Monty both had them, and I have them now. And I think. Because I think as well that part of what we keep running into is that people who don't want to tell us anything because they think we know nothing. And so I feel like by turning that around and trying to say, like, no, there's no reason not to bring me in because I already understand more than you think I do. That is a hope that that will shake up an assumption, and that they would be willing to learn more. I mean, Francis has met Casilda and knows about the existence of Camilla. I don't know if any of us have met Camilla or had any direct contact with her yet, but, like, I don't know. This Duchess could be independent or she could be aligned. The red suggests Camilla, but that we don't know for sure. And so I feel like getting that information is very probable. Because if nothing else,
at the end of the aquatic ape adventure, I can never remember the fancy name for it.
Enomorph.
Enomorph.
Blind like creature.
What we literally did was we met up with Casilda in a bar and said, so we're in a pickle. And she really did like send other forces out to help eliminate that threat in a way that we weren't capable of. So as much as Frances hates her and legitimately does, like, she knows that is a tool in their arsenal, that if this is not that person's ally, we could try to get in touch with Casilda. So I think that is an option that we can potentially use or not use. And for all we know, I don't know, you could do the same if it goes the other way. But I do think she's likely on Team Camilla, this Duchess.
So you think we should reach out to Casilda to help us with this person? Is there reasoning?
I mean, I don't want to.
Yeah.
But like, I feel like it's helpful to know the tools that are in your belt, because I feel like what was becoming so, it's that problem, right? Where you get far enough into an investigation where it just feels like the odds are so stacked against you that like the answer is run away or burn it down. And I feel like there has to be a window into more options than just that. And we do know, right? We do know that there's a writer that we do need to talk to today, and see if that person has more information that we could have.
And we know where these buildings are, so it's like we can always try and break into those during the day, too.
Does Rose mention that she got a note?
No, I think she only tells Manu that.
Amazing. I love it. Okay, cool. So that doesn't get up on the murder board. But that was my thought in writing the letter that I wrote. Is I want more information, and I'm hoping that that is a way of finding out a little more. Or of at least getting her alone in a place. I don't know.
Right.
It doesn't feel like shooting her would really solve a problem, but it might feel nice.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
After a couple hours of doing this, Francis, there's a knock on the door of the studio you're in. Mm-hmm. And one of the servants comes and hands you a letter that has arrived.
Great. I thank them very politely. And I shut the door behind them. And I will open the letter.
It says, without any greeting, just says, you are right and you are wrong. I am not from where you believe I am, but I know of what you speak. But I am trapped and cannot get out. I need your help. Meet me backstage after my show tonight.
What? I read it out loud.
But there is no backstage.
No backstage of the first
magic
one.
Show? Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh.
Oh my god. I'm gonna admit that was not a thing I saw coming. So I have to add to the murder board. Trapped? Question mark?
Yeah. Wait, but so does Francis read this out loud to the rest of them? Well, if Francis writes trapped question mark on this board, I think Rose immediately gets up and takes this chalk from her and she writes liar in all caps.
Boom. Okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely an option. But God, that's a tempting missive. We have to hear her out. We have to hear her out. Even if we don't believe the lie she's selling.
But what if it is a trap?
It probably is a trap. I will also...
You do not walk into traps?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you that point.
This is not who we are.
We just walk into traps.
This is the Manu from last season who was like, you see that sign? You run in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, to you run guys are the other all way. Idiots. Like,
we set our own traps. I don't know. Like, no.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. I mean, it probably is a trap. You're probably completely correct. But I don't know. I'm pretty good with a knife. If you put me in a backstage dark corner, I've been there before.
But they do not need knives. Look what happened to Rose. There was no knife involved.
You don't know that.
Spirit knife.
For all we know, it really was a door that ripped her whole earlobe off. I mean, it probably is a trap.
Yep.
But I think it's that waffle between, like, what do we want to know and, like, what do we want to stop? Like, I don't know. I mean, like, think there is some level of, like, if we've all shared each other's stories, mm-hmm. it is possible. I mean, when we think about Celeste, like, she was...
Trapped.
Yeah.
Right? Like, she was a pawn in somebody else's game. And
yep.
while I believe less that that's what's happening here...
It is within the realm, you know, of the possible.
It's possible. And also, I will say that Rose is feeling, like, a little, like... She's a little, like, you know, fuck it. Like, she kind of feels like she's gonna die anyways. Mm. And so, like, this feels very, like... It feels, like, less scary.
Yeah.
Because it's sort of, like, I don't know. She's, like, definitely in clearly a dark headspace this morning of, like...
We're not doing
well. It doesn't matter what I do.
Don't say.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what I do. They're gonna do to me whatever what they want, you know?
Okay.
So
fair.
Part of it does feel like... Okay, I don't know, like, if this is too much back and forth, but, like, possibly could we scribble a little, like, you know, like, promise me our safety, you know, like, guarantee it.
I mean, would we believe
it,
though?
And I'll meet you backstage. Yeah. I mean, you don't know, but...
If they're playing a game, they do tend to play by a certain unscrutable set of rules, and just because we don't know what their rules are doesn't mean that...
Yeah.
It's a fair point, like, fairy bargains still have rules.
Yeah,
let's do it. I'll get my favorite page boy back with his floppy hat with a big feather on it because we're just in a medieval
castle.
What if we were
like, cancel the show tonight? Like, we'll meet you, but don't do the show. Like, we don't want another person to die.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, like, the worst part of going back seems like watching another innocent street man die.
I think that's fair.
I like it.
I think, like, in a show of good faith,
like
cancel
it.
Your show and we'll meet you backstage. Yeah.
I'll write, like, I am a person that helps people who do not have choices. I have a history of this. It is part of how I define myself as a person. And the people that you put in that box don't have a choice. So you are not putting any money in that box tonight. Cancel the show, and we will come.
You want to use a steel push?
Yeah!
Okay.
Writing it down!
I wish I had steel. Every time someone else uses steel, I'm like, that's so cool.
Steel.
Okay. So
that's such
you want to do anything in the meantime while you wait for a response?
Wait for the evening? We should talk to the writer! We can't forget the writer friend.
Oh god, I totally did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is there like a bar where he always hangs out? Can we go there?
I think you know where he lives. You're friends.
Okay. Then... Wait, are all three of us going?
I gotta get a response.
Can you guys wait at, like, a cafe or... I don't like splitting up, but I feel like if strangers to him showed up, that'd be weird.
Your friend is probably safe. Oh, God, I say that. Knock on all the wood.
I think so. I think, like, can I bring Rose with me then? Like,
yeah.
Rose, sure. And you can, like, sit at a cafe downstairs of his apartment or something? Cool. Is that all okay?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Sure. So he actually lives in the first arrondissement. He's not a student. He's a local culture writer that you know.
A real writer.
Yes, a real writer. And you get to his apartment and you knock and the door opens just the slightest sliver. And you hear, you believe, Aristide say, Who's there? And you smell a awful smell inside, like something's rotting, like, coming from inside the apartment. And like you can just see his eye, basically. He says, Who's there?
Alors, Aristide, it is moi, Manu. Are you all right? Can we speak?
I'm fine. Now it's really not a good time.
Would you like to step to the door? Just for a moment. I am suddenly quite worried for you, my friend.
I'd rather not. I've got a bit of a mess in here. I left some food out and it's spoiled. It's really quite disgusting. Could you come back another time?
Manu's no, and she kind of pushes the door open a little.
I love Manu.
He's like up against it. He's holding it, so you can't really make it budge at all.
Even if she like boom like puts her body into it, no.
I think he's a lot stronger than you are, probably.
He sounded so frail.
Could Rose try with athletics?
Hell yeah. Yeah.
Just like slam her shoulder into it, basically.
Our favorite buff sculptor lady.
We are done being polite.
Yes. There has been a line that has been crossed.
Oh yeah. No, all of it's gone for Rose for sure. She's like, open this fucking door. Yeah. sorry for all the swearing. Yeah, do you want me to
athletics, let me know whether you want to spend anything.
Okay, I'm going to spend like one on that.
What does that represent?
I think that represents Rose being a physically formidable woman and the fact that she is like totally lost it today. Okay. Like just
might be her last day on Earth.
Like pretty much. I like it. Yeah, yeah, exactly. She has like zero time to waste with this. So I rolled a 6. So that's
nice.
A 7.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yay!
All right. So Rose throws her shoulder into the door, and you feel like you've knocked him back, and the door swings open, and you see him fall to the ground, and the door opens, and you both look down at Aristide, and you see that his arm is hanging from its socket, and then he has like a deep cut in his shoulder, revealing tendons and bones. And the wound is an unhealthy purplish color and is oozing slightly. I need you to both throw me a composure check.
I'm like, of course. You know, the moment I did that, I was like, well, this is gonna be it. This is gonna be happening.
I'm not spending any.
Okay, so Manu, you're going first. You're not spending anything.
2.
2 total?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go see the writer. It'll be fine.
Okay. I have 2 shock cards.
Oh my god.
Just to be clear.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
So I am going to be spending my last 2 remaining.
Oh my god, no.
Points.
Okay.
Because it is simply not worth it to me. I gotta throw it all on the deck. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So, you need to go talk to someone.
I need
this
to.
This is a person that you don't want to talk to. This is a person that nobody wants to talk to.
Okay. So I'm gonna roll right now. Here we go.
Oh my god.
I got a 1, and so with 2, that makes it 3.
Okay.
Oh my god, Rose, you can't die.
So the difficulty level of this was actually 3, so Rose is fine.
Oh my fucking god.
And Manu, you failed by 1, so you take your second shock card, which is called the Shudders.
I am screaming.
Emily, are you okay?
No! This is horrible. Why do we play this game where bad things can happen? Let's play Pretty Pretty Princess.
Oh, wait a second. I'm so sorry.
What?
I have to tell some truths here because I just realized I have Bone Song.
Yeah.
Which is a -1 to composure tests. Not that I want to die, but I just want to be upfront about it.
That's
so I rolled
true.
A 1. And I spent 2, so I had 3, but I have Bone Song.
No, no.
So it's technically 2.
No, no, no.
That's true. So I think what happens...
Fuck.
I think what happens is you knock this person over and you see his arm, you know, it looks like it's almost coming out of its socket. And instantly in your head, his arm becomes the arm of a statue, and it's broken off like the statue in your apartment. And in your mind, you're sure you destroyed that statue, and yet here in front of you, it's back together. It just its arm is broken off. The rest of it is intact. And so you just pull out your mallet and you start smashing down on the body of this person. And smashing and smashing and smashing until it's all destroyed. And that is where we're going to end our story for now.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. I thought you were going to pull it, but that's how this works.
Oh my god.
Are you kidding?
Oh my god.
Oh, did we just lose Rose?
This podcast was created using the Yellow King RPG by Pelgrane Press and is based on an adventure written by Robin D. Laws, both used under the Pelgrane Press Limited Community Use Policy, along with the music from the Yellow King Suite written by James Semple. Our intro music was composed and produced by Jean-Luc Bouchard. You can find more information about the Nature of My Game podcast at NOMG Podcast on Twitter and Instagram, or at nomgpodcast.com. To support us on Patreon, please visit www.patreon.com/NOMG Podcast.